You're listening to the Night Demon Network. Go to nightdemon.net/subscriber to unlock more exclusive content.
Hello and welcome to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. I'm your host Nesbitt, and in 2015, Ventura, California hosted the first Frost and Fire Festival, the only traditional heavy metal festival on the West Coast. And after 7 years and a pause due to the pandemic, Frost and Fire Festival is back. Once again, ready to kick off this June in Derry, Northern Ireland. This is Frost and Fireland.
Song called Frost and Fire!
Frost and Fireland, June 17th and June 18th of 2022. 2 days of killer bands, and we're going to hear from the bands and spin some tracks, but first we're going to get into a bit of the history of Frost and Fire Festival. The first Frost and Fire Festival in 2015 was an idea formed by Jarvis Leatherby of Night Demon, but it was far from the first show he had ever organized. Here's Jarvis.
My history of promoting concerts basically goes back to the beginning of me playing music. I mean, really back in the day, the only way that we could get gigs in Southern California as young kids that weren't even adults was to put on your own shows. You know, we were doing backyard shows, kind of house party shows when people's parents would go out of town. Sometimes people's parents would let us play in their backyard on a weekend or whatever. You know, we used to book this old laser tag place in Oxnard, California called Laser Star. They used to let us do concerts there on Friday nights. You know, VFW halls, youth centers, wherever there was a stage that would have us, basically was that. So, you know, there was nobody wanting to book my band when I was young, or Armand's for that matter, or both of our bands. My band Black Opal and his band The Whereabouts played a lot together in those days. And, you know, we would just do wherever we could. I remember we were playing gigs at like Catholic high schools and all kinds of stuff. And, you know, that DIY approach is really what got me started in the promotions industry, just basically to promote my own music. And, you know, we'd go to school, we'd make our own flyers on Xerox machines and hand them out and promote it and try and get people to come to our gigs. When I was 17 years old, I took a big leap and actually started working at the Majestic Ventura Theater, a big concert venue, an old theater built in 1928 in Ventura. They had some new owners at the time and were from a bit out of town and kind of looking for some local knowledge and some local support. And so I was able to help out in that way. And one thing led to another, and I started just booking these huge national acts. I wasn't even an adult yet, but I really learned a lot in those years and kind of fast-tracked my career in promoting. You know, my first love was always playing music, but definitely being on that end of things helped me to build a lot of relationships. And it really gave me a taste of what it's like to be a promoter, what risks you have to take, what's all involved with that, and how difficult it really is. It's a lot, you know, a lot of people get into the promotions game and get into the game of putting on gigs because of their love of music. But there's a steep learning curve, and especially if you're not part of a scene, it's really hard to get people to, you know, to come out of their houses and pay money to go to see an event, especially these days. And, you know, like I mentioned, there is a lot of risk. You do have to have some startup capital to get things going. Sometimes not a lot, but it just depends on what you're dealing with and how much faith you have that people will show up and buy tickets and cover your expenses. Because in this industry, you know, your reputation is everything. There's been plenty of promoters that we've played for that, you know, at the end of the day, there is no money or you don't get what's been promised. And, you know, for those people, it's usually the last time that they're able to do such a thing because, you know, the bands and the agents and the managers and everybody talks to each other and they're pretty much like, look, we got screwed by this person, you know, so kind of stay away from them. So, you know, I've definitely taken my licks. I've taken big, big financial losses over the course of my life. And I've had big gains too. But, you know, you have to be responsible for all parties involved when it's you that's putting on the event. So you have to be ready to take those losses when they come. And you have to be a person of your word and you have to cover those things. So, you know, from about age 17 to 21, I was very heavy in the game. And then I started touring again with bands and kind of rediscovered reassessed my life. It's like, well, hang on a second here. Like, I'm not in this solely to make other people's dreams come true. I have my own too. And so I really focus a lot more on just being an artist and a performer.
So Jarvis has a history of promoting shows in California. In the late 90s and in the 2000s, Jarvis brought bands like King Diamond, Wasp, The Damned, Bad Brains, Fear Factory, Motorhead to his part of California before focusing on his own musical career with Night Demon. So after kickstarting Night Demon into action, releasing an EP, and with a tour with Diamond Head and Raven planned, in 2013, Jarvis jumps back into promoting when he threw an event called Nerdfest in Oxnard, California, city next to Ventura and his hometown. So Nerdcore is the name for Oxnard's hardcore scene in the 80s. So Oxnard plus hardcore, Nerdcore. Here's a fun fact. This show was originally named Nerdstock, but Jarvis received a cease and desist letter from the Woodstock people, whoever they are. So it became Nerdfest. So August 2013, Nerdfest brought together 8 of these bands, including headliners Ill Repute.
In 2013, when I quit my job and decided to take Night Demon seriously, I had to supplement my income in other ways. And so I started the Nard Fest, which is a festival. It's a hardcore punk rock festival celebrating the Nardcore scene, all the hardcore bands from Oxnard, California. And, you know, I mean, those were very successful. It became an annual event. But, you know, again, I put a lot of money on the line and my time. I spent so much time. And I mean, I would be like, I felt like a creepy old guy outside of high schools handing out flyers every day when kids got out of school, stuff like this. But, you know, it was all just for the love of the game and to really put on an event to celebrate these bands, you know, bands that, you know, I wasn't even performing at any of these things. I just really wanted to act as the catalyst to do something great for the scene, because at the time nobody was really stepping up to do that. In later years, it's since been taken over by other people that are doing a pretty good job with it, you know? So, you know, I felt my job was done there, and I obviously had bigger fish to fry.
So Nardfest is a success. Night Demon takes off touring around the world until Jarvis has another idea for a festival, a traditional heavy metal festival in Ventura, California, to be named Frost and Fire after the first Cirith Ungol album.
In 2015, you know, Night Demon had been, by that point, touring around the world and playing many festivals in the States and in Europe. And, you know, we just kind of thought about it. It's like, hey, look, we know how to put on an event as well. And California really, really needs something like this. There was nothing like it there. And it's just crazy to think about, you know, there's 30 million people there. A lot of great, great metal bands came from the West Coast and nobody was being represented in the festival environment. So we took it upon ourselves to put on a metal festival, and we called it Frost and Fire in honor of Cirith Ungol. We were doing it in Ventura, California, and that was the name of their first record. That's where the band hails from. We thought it was a great name, and we thought we could brand it with the Praying Skeletons and kind of do it in their honor, because they're the ones who put heavy metal on the map in Ventura, California. I feel it burning, and I feel the breeze, the frost of fire. At the time, the band was broken up for 24, 25 years and had no ambitions to reform. But I did invite all of the members to come to the first Frost and Fire in October of 2015 just to do an autograph signing.
When we came up with the idea for Frost and Fire and how we were going to dedicate it to the spirit of Cirith Ungol, and I had a feeling that we were on the right path, you know. First off, throwing our own festival. Second off, you know, really putting it out there that we're paying homage to, you know, a band that we respect, especially from our area. It just kind of went hand in hand. It just made sense to us. We were like, we want to throw a festival on the West Coast in the United States and do something that other festivals are doing, but do it a little better, or do certain things that we don't really like at some of those festivals. We just knew that we could throw a really great festival that people would want to go to.
So taking the name from the first Cirith Ungol album, Jarvis and Night Demon put off the festival as a tribute to Ventura, California's first true heavy metal band, Cirith Ungol. Here's Rob Garvin and Tim Baker from Cirith Ungol, who attended the first Frost and Fire Festival, where they held a signing for fans.
Let me talk about the signing session at the first Frost and Fire, and it was amazing, really, to see all these people come to the town that we lived in, Ventura, California, for a metal festival, you know, put on by Jarvis and the guys. That was the very first Frost and Fire, and we had a signing session there, and actually all the members of the band were, like, currently around town were there, so it was pretty amazing to see all the people from around the world, and they brought all their stuff for us to sign, and it was an impetus for us to maybe think about, you know, doing it again.
Jarvis was putting on a heavy metal festival called Frost and Fire 1 in our hometown of Ventura, California. He had booked bands from all over the world to come and play, and he asked if we would do a signing session, and all the original members, except Jerry Fogel, who had tragically passed away in 1998, agreed. The festival was a huge success, and at the signing session, many showed up with albums and other memorabilia to be signed and meet the band. It seemed to us as if a new generation had discovered our music, the music we had worked on so hard for so many years. It was simply amazing seeing people from all over the world come who knew about our band, who knew our material and our songs, and had albums and photographs and stickers and posters, everything under the sun for us to sign. It was incredible. And to this day, it's something I'll never forget.
Just to flew us in, just to, you know, hang around and sign stuff and everything. And it was amazing, especially we knew that we had more fans, of course, in Europe than we ever did here. But it was pretty amazing to go to that first, those first two festivals and see the outpouring of, you know, love and support for the band from, like, you know, long suffering fans of ours and, you know, new fans also that, you know, had just gotten into the band due to the resurgence of, you know, what they call classic heavy metal. It was really cool. And it really started the ball rolling for us as far as, you know, our reuniting. So it was amazing two things to get us going. And, you know, we just continued on from then.
That was really great because we had a sold out show. It was a 1 day event at the time. And we did it in a small club, the Bombay Bar and Grill. But I think we sold about 350 tickets to that. And, you know, the fact that Sirathungal was doing a signing session, you know, so many people came from all around the country and other countries from around the world just to meet these guys, you know, because they were like, you know, the Great White Buffalo, you know, it's like they were the band that there was a lot of mystery surrounding the band. There was even rumors that Tim Baker had passed away. Things like this, they had just never been heard from in the modern age of metal. And, you know, we had Robert Garvin there, Mike Flint Vuja, Tim Baker, Jim Barraza, and Greg Lindstrom. And, like, these guys are, you know, original Sirathungal guys. And some of these guys hadn't seen each other in decades, so it was a great reunion for them. And they really got a taste of what the current metal culture was like. And I really think that that had a lot to do with inspiring them to reunite. A good friend of ours, Oliver Weinsheimer from the Keep It True Festival, actually came out to Frost and Fire that year. He came from Germany with the sole purpose of helping me influence Sirathungal to reunite. And, you know, I would say that it was a success, obviously, based on what's happened since then. But, you know, the goal obviously was just to do a 1 day thing and a one time thing. But the, you know, Sirathungal reunited shortly after that. And that's when things really took off for us. And we just decided to keep it going as an annual event for quite some time out there.
So Frost and Fire 1 in Ventura, California featured a super solid lineup of metal bands. I'll name a few of them. Savage Master, Gygax, which actually featured a pre-Night Demon Armand John Anthony, Visigoth, Night Demon, and was headlined by two bands, Arizona metal legends Ashbury, who played the entire Endless Skies album front to back,
Sunrise.
Also co-headlining the first Frost and Fire Festival, Manila Road. By all accounts, a huge success, which would kick off the festival as more than just a one-time event.
It really became like the thing of legend now. There's so many places that we still travel around the world where people are still talking about these festivals that we put on and asking, when is it coming back? When's it going to come back to Ventura? Ventura is like a very... It's a great vacation destination for people. It's right on the ocean. The weather's always nice. And people just really seem to enjoy the vibe there. So, you know, that's where this whole thing really started. And, you know, I mean, we've obviously taken it a step further from there.
In October of 2016, Frost and Fire Festival 2 kicked off, again in Ventura, California. This time expanded to a two-day event with twice as many bands, but headlined by a reunited Cirith Ungol playing their first show in 25 years. And it happened to be on the same exact stage they played their last show on.
So then there was all this preparation and rehearsals for them to play at the theater. And, you know, it had been the location of their last show. And here they are now. And it was a really nervous, nerve-wracking experience. But they handled it. It was a great show. It was awesome to see him playing there. It was awesome to see the energy from the fans, the response, the ovation, the whole thing. So it was really, really awesome.
Welcome to the brave new world!
reunited Cirith Ungol would go on to headline more Frost and Fire festivals. Frost and Fire 3 in 2017, which was now expanded to 3 days, and Frost and Fire 4 in 2018.
Regarding some of the lineups that we've had for the festival, you know, to be honest, I guess I'm not the most exciting festival promoter in the diversity of my lineups. And I think that's just, I like the usual suspects, you know, there's like a crop of bands that I just think are so amazing in this scene. And I just always want them to play every year because you just never know when it's going to be the last. And all of them play at a very high level still. So, you know, there's obviously been some diversity in the lineups throughout the years, but the one, the consistent ones are, you know, Cirith Ungol plays every year. I mean, the festival is named after them. Night Demon plays every year because it's our festival and we're there anyway. Who's not going to want to see Night Demon like when we're already there? I mean, that's kind of like, it's almost, it would be silly for us not to play. But, you know, we've had, you know, Mindless Sinner from Sweden, a lot of legendary bands from the UK like Jaguar and Mithra, you know, Raven, you know, bands from Canada, Riot City, bands like this, bands from all over the place. But there's definitely, you find a lot of repeat bands at Frost and Fire. And like I said, we're not in the festival game to have an annual festival and like, this is our life. This is just a small footnote of what we do as Night Demon. And it's a celebration, you know, it's not anything other than that.
These shows, I think for Frost and Fire and Cirith Ungol being a part of it and Cirith Ungol being like the main inspiration behind us throwing the festival in the first place, I think it only goes hand in hand and it only makes the event that much more magical. I think if we threw a Frost and Fire without Cirith Ungol there, it wouldn't quite be the same. You know, we might end up doing it one day if the band's not around anymore or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen in the future, but I feel like having Cirith Ungol on the festival or at the festival really makes it what it is and really adds that amazing element and attraction to what people are attracted to. You know, they want to go to this event and pay homage to, you know, the kings of underground fantasy metal, right? So.
Hey guys, Nesbitt here. If you'd like to support Night Demon and this podcast, the best way to do it is to become a Night Demon subscriber. Not only will you be doing your part to support a true heavy metal band out there really living it, you'll also gain access to a ton of extras. Bonus audio content, a subscriber-only merch store with rare items from the band's archives. You can stream never-before-heard demos and unearth live concerts from the live vaults. Communicate with the other Night Demon diehards on an exclusive subscriber forum and gain early access to all press releases, album pre-orders, new merchandise, and a ton more. And another thing that I think is pretty cool is Night Demon will be donating 10% of every subscription fee to the Metal Cares Foundation, which is a charitable fund the band started in 2014 to aid those in our metal community. So head over to nightdemon.net/subscriber and join us as we make heavy metal history together as one. And on a side note, I'll personally think you're a grade A badass. (laughs) 2018 also saw Frost and Fire expanding internationally for the first time with Frost and Fire London. So Frost and Fire London, a 2-day 9-band festival in London, England, May 11th and 12th of 2018, with headliners Cirith Ungol and metal legends Angel Witch. I saw
the idea of branching out to London was for one specific reason, and that was to get Cirith Ungol to the UK. Now, we had had some offers for the band, but financially it was just so low that, you know, it wasn't feasible for us to afford going there with visas and flights and hotels and ground transportation and all this stuff. It was kind of out of the realm of possibility for us without taking a huge hit. You know, for some reason, the band never really translated over in the UK from, you know, back in the day when they were active. So that's when I decided, look, let's do a Frost and Fire London. We'll get Angel Witch to co-headline with Cirith Ungol. We'll have Night Demon, Witch Hazel, and Amulet. And then we'll do some other stuff. We'll do a pre-party in New Wave of British Heavy Metal style with Bashful Alley, Mithra, Jaguar. We'll do some after parties at the Dev. And that's when things fully came together. So, you know, the tradition of Frost and Fire is to keep it out of the big cities. I find that when Frost and Fire comes to town, to a small town like Ventura, a lot of the townsfolk, you know, start to maybe judge a book by its cover. You see metalheads wearing leather and chains and denim and, you know, walking down the street. And it's kind of like, oh, shit, the circus has come to town. What's going on, you know? But what we always find is after the weekend, all of the local businesses are really sad to see everybody leave. It's been a great, Frost and Fire has been a great ambassador for heavy metal in showing that metalheads are kind people. They're sophisticated people. They are not afraid to spend their money and support local business. And they just like to have a good time. So that's one thing that I'm really proud of. But, you know, moving it to London, I was a bit sketched about, you know, just being another freak on the street, just being another face in the crowd. We didn't want that for the festival, but we did get lucky in the fact that we moved it to Camden, which is a nice borough of London that's really cool. I mean, it's a bit hipster, but that's fine. You know, there's some counterculture happening there. And, you know, crime is not running rampant. And you know, in the tradition of Frost and Fire, we like to use multiple venues that are in walking distance. So in London, we were able to do that. We did a show at the Black Heart. Then across the street, we did one at the Underworld. Then right down the street, we did an after party at the Devonshire Arms. So it really worked out in the spirit of Frost and Fire. The show sold out. Actually, at one point, after Angel Witch is set, before Cirith Ungol went on, the whole lighting rig went out in the Underworld. And the venue manager came to me and said, man, there are way too many people in this venue. There's so much condensation from the heat and from the sweat that it shorted out the power to the lighting rig. So I had a bit of a panic moment there. Luckily, we were able to get it back on and the show went off without a hitch. But, you know, after that, I was a bit wary of going back there to do it. And like I said, it got Cirith Ungol to London. It got Cirith Ungol to the UK, and that was the goal. And it was a big success in that. The only difference I would say between London and Ventura is the size of the city. The same kind of clientele was there. 80% of our ticket sales were to people from outside of the UK. So it was much the same, much of our regular fans, much of the diehard supporters that love this kind of heavy metal.
So Frost and Fire was growing and expanding. The Night Demon and Jervis were on the fence about putting on the next Frost and Fire, and also whether or not it would return to Ventura, California. But the decision of whether or not to throw the next festival was sort of made for them when the pandemic hit.
Regarding Frost and Fire returning to Ventura, well, you know, I mean, it's something that's definitely been on the mind just because people want it so bad. I would like to try some different venues. Things have changed a lot since the pandemic. So we are, we're kind of navigating through that at the moment. We'll see what happens. You know, the idea, honestly, was to do one called Frost and Fire Utopia, which would take place on Catalina Island, which is a small island 26 miles across the sea from the port of Long Beach near L.A., we really want to do an open air out there, and the habitable space of Avalon, which is the city on Catalina Island, is only 1 square mile. So talk about metalheads taking over a fucking town. That's That's what we want to do. That's the goal. But I'm not ruling Ventura out. We just have to see what happens, you know. And going into 2019, it was our last year of Frost and Fire. We said it was our last year, and that was in Ventura. And that was just for the reason that, you know, I mean, we had, Night Demon had, year after year, had to turn down many opportunities to tour in October with bands that we wanted to tour with, because we were booking this festival and we kind of felt a responsibility to the scene to be putting this thing on. But at a certain point, you know, we kind of just lost the motivation for it. And again, we weren't diversifying our lineup enough. And we just thought, look, let's take a step back from this. A lot of people were disappointed. Some people were angry. And some people even said we were stupid and we were crazy. But what happens the following year? The pandemic hits and all the promoters we know were, you know, they were up shit creek without a paddle, you know, and here we are. We hadn't planned anything yet. You know, it takes thousands of dollars to put on a Frost and Fire just before anything even happens, before a single ticket is sold. And that's money that we've had to advance. And, you know, being a band that was homeless for so many years, that's what we would do with our money. We would take the money and try and curate something like this for the people. But, you know, we trusted our instincts that it was time for us to take a break. And, you know, our instincts proved right when this pandemic hit. So we're fortunate enough to be at the tail end of this and bring this thing back and do this thing in Ireland this year. And we're really excited about that. And the timing is right. And that's what I always say, you know, always follow your gut. If something feels wrong, it's because it is. And if it feels right, it's because it is. And so we find ourselves where we are today in 2022, and, you know, the train is back on the track. So fucking here we go.
So here we are in 2022, and Frost and Fire lives. So Frost and Fire 2022, that's June 17th and 18th in Derry, Northern Ireland. There's tickets still available at irongripheavymetal.com. And in case you missed it on YouTube, here's some more info about how to get to the festival.
If you're traveling for Frost and Fire Ireland, well, great news. The whole island of Ireland, north and south, is totally free from any travel restrictions, so get those tickets and travel booked now. Derry's super easy to get to. Most international flights come into Dublin Airport, and we also have Belfast City and Belfast International Airports, which are just over an hour from Derry. From all these airports, there are easy and direct bus transfers into Derry city centre. Worth adding that there's no hard border in Ireland, meaning that you can drive straight through without any sort of checkpoint. So whether you're flying Belfast, Dublin, once you're in, you're in. In fact, Derry's located within a few miles of the border, so most people move between Northern Ireland and the Republic all the time. Here's what crossing the border actually looks like. Blink if you miss it, right? Head over to irongripheavymetal.com to secure your tickets right now.
Well, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to get into the lineup and the bands and even more information about this year's Frost and Fire Festival in Ireland. Until next time, this is Nesbitt signing off. Continue the fight! Reach for the light! The path you must go into the grave!
Thanks for listening to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast. Head over to nightdemon.net, click on the subscriber tab, and sign up to access exclusive weekly bonus content. If you would like to donate to support the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast, you can do so through PayPal at paypal.me/nightdemonmetal. Additionally, if you have not already done so, please subscribe, like, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts.
All hail, Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. This is Dusty Squires chiming in to tell you about my brand new signature sticks from the London Drumstick Company. I've dreamt of having my very own drumsticks ever since I was a wee lad, and LDC made that a possibility for me. Founded in 2016 in London, England, the birthplace of heavy metal, the London Drumstick Company has trailblazed a path through the music industry and taken the drummer world by storm. When I met them for the first time, they knew their product was going to withstand the beatings of a Night Demon show. They took the time to work with me on getting everything just right. The balance and weight of my sticks are the same no matter what, and the durability is bar none the best I've ever had. I know my sticks will last through the set night after night. I'm truly honored to work with a company that caters to their players the way LDC does. Their innovation and attention to detail is what separates them from the rest of the stick makers out there. Their custom stick sleeves are unbelievable and really make the entire presentation complete. Wait until you see the design they came up with for me. It blew my mind and was a surprise to say the least. They have all kinds of amazing swag, including hoodies, t-shirts, drummer shorts, drum keys, stick bags, towels, face masks, practice pads, and much, much more. Even if you're not a drummer, you can be a part of Demon history and order my brand new signature sticks direct from their website. How cool is that? And to top it off, the London Drumstick Company are giving an exclusive offer to the Night Demon Heavy Metal Podcast listeners. Go to londondrumsticks.co.uk and receive a 15% store-wide discount using promo code DEMONSTICKS. All capital letters, no spaces, DEMONSTICKS. DEMONSTICKS. I can't thank everyone there enough for the opportunity to be a part of their family and for them trusting me with their amazing products. See you metal maniacs on the road very soon. And yes, the wood chips will be flying.
Greetings, boils and ghouls. This is your comrade, the Crypt Keeper here, reporting dead from the Sanctuary of the Strange. Tonight's macabre myth is a fright-filled feature, one overflowing with monsters, madness, and magic.
Visit our website at monstersmadnessandmagic.com to stay up to date on all the dark dealings within the Sanctuary of the Strange. Enjoy the show.
Hey metalheads, I'm Mark and I host Metal Forge. Let me tell you about the show. The Metal Forge features the best underground metal from all over the world. We spend every week with a different artist with interviews, in-depth conversations, and most of all, the music. We also feature audience interactivity where you can submit your questions to the upcoming guests. New episodes are out every Friday at noon Eastern Time at MetalForgeRadio.com or wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Want to know what's going on in the world of music? Then tune in to the Nothing Shocking Podcast, a non-genre-based, all-ages-friendly rock and roll program. Join us weekly for interviews with all your favorite rock stars from the mainstream to the underground. You can find us at nothingshocking.libsyn.com or anywhere you download podcasts.
Okay, metalheads, you've been complaining that there has not been a channel that plays all of the heavy metal videos from past, present, and future for years and years at this point. Well, that time is over. Heavy Metal Television is back. HeavyMetalTelevision.net is the website. Go there. You can see videos playing 24/7, 365, all the time, all the best from the old school, the new school, and everything in between. Check it out, heavymetaltelevision.net. It is where the metal is.